They came to Jericho. As he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately, he regained his sight and followed him on the way. The Gospel of our Lord. I send greetings today from Big House Church of Norfolk. My pastors there are very glad that I'm able to have this chance to be with you again, and I am also thrilled to pieces that I was invited back. I made the cut last week. I accomplished what I needed to, didn't put anyone to sleep, and so you have let me return. For that, I thank you. Unfortunately, maybe not everyone was here last week, so when you look at your bulletin and see it's a part two, you might be thinking, uh-oh, I missed part one. Well, lucky you, I'll give a brief summary. Because the writer of this gospel, St. Mark or John Mark, intended to put two stories right next to each other to highlight for us a contrast. A contrast between James and John and Bartimaeus. A contrast between two young men who came to Jesus desiring him to fix all of their problems, to be the solution for all of their issues, and their tactic for accomplishing this was to ask that they might have position, that they might be made prominent, that they might be given power. Because in their minds, they thought if they could just climb that ladder of success up to the very, very top, then everything that was ever wrong or unhappy would be so far below, it wouldn't bother them ever again. Or perhaps that if they could gain this new level of superiority, they would never have to contend with those yucky feelings of inferiority. So when Jesus asked James and John the question of, "What do you want me to do for you?" they answered as best they knew. They came up with their own idea of here's what we think we want. But Jesus didn't grant them their wish. Jesus instead responded by saying, "You don't really understand." In essence, Jesus was saying, "I see your hearts. I see that you are in pain. I see that you are hurting young men, men with problems, teenagers who have been harmed and hurt and used and abused in this world. And so that's why you think that power will help you. That's why you think that a new position, that fame and fortune is what you're after." But Jesus knew their real heart and soul cry wasn't for power, wasn't for position. Their real heart and soul cry was for healing, was to experience the love that heals. Power doesn't heal. Fame and fortune don't heal. And so Jesus responded to James and John by saying, "You don't really understand the depths of your own hearts. So I will show you a better way. I will show you that willing service and willing sacrifice, that generosity and humility are the ways that we open our hearts to receive the love that we actually want, that is the deepest desire of our hearts and souls, to be able to give and receive love, not to usurp authority, not to lord it over others, but that by humbling ourselves, choosing to love, choosing to serve, choosing to give, we become soft and tender. That as we give love, we're open to receive love. And it is only that kind of divine love that is the true desire, the true need of our hearts and souls. So James and John didn't quite get it when Jesus asked them this astounding question of, "What do you want me to do for you?" That Jesus Christ himself would just put it out there. "Okay, I'm here to meet your needs. Your wish is my command. Here it is. Go ahead, ask me anything." And James and John were a little off, weren't they? But in today's story, Jesus asks the exact same question of a man named Bartimaeus. And while James and John were meant to be examples of this isn't quite how you do it, Bartimaeus is meant to be an example of, now this is it. Of all people, a blind beggar is the one who shows us the real needs of our heart and soul, who shows us what it's like to know what I want from Jesus. And so let us look at this story of blind Bartimaeus so that we ourselves may be able to see how to respond to our heart's deepest desires, to the truest longings of our souls, how to respond when Jesus asks us, "What do you want me to do for you?" Let's look at the story of blind Bartimaeus so that we can see what it looks like to know what I want from Jesus. The first thing we see about Bartimaeus is that he is a blind beggar, and he is on the side of the road. In many ways, this is where we all start out, having to reckon with the reality that things are not as they should be in our lives. And during prayer request time today, we were also reminded that things are not as they should be in our world. That we ourselves, that the world around us, has many experiences of being downtrodden, of being cast aside. That rather than being welcomed to the in crowd, we're left on the outskirts in many ways. In many ways, we feel the tension of not belonging, the anxiety of, am I accepted? Am I loved? Am I good enough? Blind Bartimaeus faced these feelings every day. He was very familiar with them. And I believe the call for us is to acknowledge when we do feel out of sorts, to acknowledge that being an outcast, being swept to the side, being ignored and marginalized, is not the way it should be. But let us feel that discomfort. Let us not get used to it and just deal with it, suck it up, pretend it's not happening. Let us admit and accept that where we are, on the side of the road, impoverished in so many ways, is not God's best for us. Let us actually feel the discomfort when we hear of a world gone mad, when we hear of violence, when we hear of grief and loss. Let us not brush over these things. Let us not believe that that's just the way it's got to be. But let us feel the pain, feel the empathy, the compassion. And let us extend that gift to ourselves as well, believing that there has to be more for me, that I am not deserving or doomed to a life at the side of the road. to a life of being impoverished. Perhaps if not impoverished monetarily, sometimes we can be impoverished relationally. We can be impoverished emotionally. We can be impoverished psychologically. Let us not believe for one second that any form of poverty or lack in our lives is God's best for us. Let us not be content to be beggars on the side of the road. Blind Bartimaeus had to reckon with where he was starting from. That is what society had called him. That was his lot in life. But he was not going to stay there because Jesus was coming through. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." In his state of poverty, with which he was discontent and believing that there had to be more for him, in his state of rejection, he was believing that there had to be a better way. And so when he hears that Jesus is coming, he cries out. Let our hearts also cry out when we open our awareness to the places of poverty within us, to the places of poverty in our world, to the places of lack and rejection. Let us also cry out to Jesus. And see what he cries. He cries, "Jesus, Son of David." Blind Bartimaeus recognized that where he was not where he wanted to be, that there had to be more, there had to be better. But he also recognized who Jesus was and what Jesus has to offer. He gives Jesus this messianic title, Son of David, the title of the Messiah, the one who is coming to restore all things, the one coming with renewal, even more so, the one coming with healing in his wings, the one coming to bring light to the places that had been covered by the shadow of darkness. Some people, James and John included, had a completely different messianic vision. But I think Bartimaeus understood something deeper about what the Messiah represented. I think that blind Bartimaeus even knew the scriptures better than James and John, and perhaps better than us. Because while some were convinced that the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of David, was coming with vengeance, was coming with wrath, was coming with anger and violence to overthrow the oppressors of Rome, blind Bartimaeus believed in a Messiah coming with mercy. I think that blind Bartimaeus was intimately familiar with the passage from Isaiah that says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on the one he has anointed, the one who will bring good news to the poor, the one who will set at liberty the captives, the one who will give sight to the blind, the one who will lift up and free all who are oppressed, the one who is proclaiming this is the year of God's goodness and favor." That's the one blind Bartimaeus was expecting. A humble Messiah who came with mercy. And this is why he cries out, "Son of David, Messiah, Christ, have mercy." I don't think we ask for mercy of people we don't believe are actually merciful. I think that when we encounter people who we see as spiteful or vindictive, people who we believe to be cruel, or people who we believe to be apathetic, we give up. We don't bother. We say, "What's the point? What's the use?" We just accept it as it is and move on. They're not going to do anything about it because they don't even care. But blind Bartimaeus recognized in Jesus, here is one who cares. Here is one that I can ask for mercy because he is merciful. Blind Bartimaeus recognized in Jesus that divine attribute of being full of mercy. When God describes himself in the Hebrew scriptures, his favorite term is that he is merciful. Other ways to translate that word mercy would be compassionate or loving kindness. And when God himself is asked, who do you say that you are? God himself says, I am the Lord, rich in mercy, slow to anger, abounding in love, showing mercy to thousands of generations. Those are the words God uses to describe God. And blind Bartimaeus saw something of God in Jesus. Blind Bartimaeus trusted that this Messiah, this Christ, this King, was coming with God's mercy. And so he could ask for mercy. He could ask for kindness. He could ask to be shown compassion and love and grace. What about us? Do we believe that our God is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love, showing mercy to thousands of generations? Is that our God? Or have we let doubts of God's character creep into our minds and keep us from even asking? Have we suspected God of possibly being a little capricious, a little unpredictable, maybe even vengeful and wrathful? Or are we more like blind Bartimaeus, deeply trusting that, yes, I can ask for mercy because I know he is merciful, because I know he is good, because I know that is his truest nature. That is the most God-like part of God. That the truest thing about God is his mercy. And so I can ask. Bartimaeus knew it. He knew it so much that even when the crowd tried to shush him, basically saying, shut up. Stop it. Jesus doesn't want to hear from you. He's got more important things to you. Bartimaeus knew, oh no, Jesus wants to hear from me. And for each of us today, let us receive that deep promise into our souls that yes, Jesus wants to hear from you. And there is no shame. There is no embarrassment in crying out to him. Crying out all the louder, Jesus! Son of David, have mercy. We can cry out to him in our time of need. We can cry out to him when our souls and our hearts feel impoverished, when we have felt the sting of rejection. We can cry out, Jesus, have mercy. We can cry out when we see our world falling to pieces, Jesus, have mercy. We know you want better for us. We know you offer more than this. Jesus, Messiah, have mercy. And I find it so beautiful that when Jesus heard the cry of this blind beggar cast to the side, when Jesus heard his voice, he stood still. Jesus stopped what he was doing. Jesus may have even been preaching a sermon. He may have been giving a deep theological presentation. He may have been in the middle of an argument. Or he may have just been walking on his merry way. Places to go, people to see, things to do, busy schedule to keep. And yet when he hears the voice, when Jesus hears the desperate cry of a man in need, he stands still. He shows his mercy. He shows that Bartimaeus was right. He shows that, yes, I am attentive to your cry. I am full of mercy. I am the one coming to renew and restore. And I hear you. I am listening. I love the sound of your voice. I want to hear from you. And don't let anyone silence you. Cry out to me, Jesus says, and I will stop whatever I'm doing to pay attention to you, my dear child. Jesus stood still and said, call him here. I want to meet with this man. I don't want him at a distance. I don't want to be shouting my communication to him. I want him face to face with me. Jesus wants to be face to face with each of us. And Bartimaeus completely trusted in that character of Jesus. We don't see Bartimaeus slinking up to Jesus. We don't see him with his head hung low. We don't see him apologizing or mumbling. The first thing we see Bartimaeus doing is that he leaps up. He jumps. He is filled with a confidence that comes from knowing that, yes, Jesus wants me with him. Jesus is not ashamed of me. Jesus is not embarrassed by me. The crowd might be, but Jesus wants me. He is the Messiah who renews and restores. He is the Son of David who is rich in mercy, and he wants me near him. Bartimaeus jumps up, but more than that, he jumps up and throws aside his cloak. Bartimaeus was a blind beggar, which means he was probably a homeless man. And that cloak was his tent. That cloak was his protection from the elements. That cloak may have also been where Bartimaeus collected the coins that the passerby would throw at him. And so for Bartimaeus to jump on his feet and fling off his cloak was him saying, this old life is over. I am no longer trusting in my possessions. I'm no longer trusting in my money. I'm no longer accepting this place of being a blind beggar kicked to the side of the road. This is not me anymore. I'm giving up on that old life because Jesus has called me, and I am going to be with Jesus. I don't need earthly possessions anymore for my safety and security. I just need to be with Jesus. He jumps up, he throws aside his cloak, and he walks boldly up to Jesus. It doesn't even sound like anybody leads him there. It sounds like Bartimaeus is filled with such a confidence and conviction that he strides, head held high, on his own two feet, under his own power, and gets to Jesus. He was that convinced that this was going to be a good day. Nothing was going to prevent him from going to where he knew he needed to be. And then Jesus asks him this glorious question, this astounding question that he had asked James and John just a few verses earlier. Jesus now asks of Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you? It's like writing a blank check. It's like saying, whatever you want, your wish is my command. What can I do for you? How can I help you? Bartimaeus could have responded however he wanted. Jesus left it up to him. What's in your heart, Bartimaeus? What's on your mind? What's going on that I can do something about? Anything at all? James and John, when they were asked that question, we saw that they just kind of, well, we want thrones. We want to be powerful. We want to be rich and famous. Can you do that for us, Jesus? And Jesus says, no, because that's not really what you need. You might think that's what you want, but it isn't. Fame and fortune won't help. Power and prestige won't help. You need to learn the way of love. And now the very same question presented to blind Bartimaeus. And the first word out of his mouth is my teacher. Or in some translations, my master, my Lord, from the word Rabboni. The first word out of blind Bartimaeus' mouth makes it personal. You are my teacher, my master, my Lord. Bartimaeus trusted that Jesus wanted to be personal with him. That Jesus didn't want him to be distant. Jesus didn't want him to be a stranger. Jesus didn't want him to be an unknown quantity. Blind Bartimaeus knew, I can be personal with Jesus. Jesus, I know that you want me to belong to you. Bartimaeus came to Jesus with full acceptance that here is one who accepts me. Here is one I can belong to. Here is one who extends to me a welcome, unlike the crowd. Or maybe even unlike his earthly family. Bartimaeus saw in Jesus, this son of David, this merciful one. Bartimaeus saw in Jesus, you are one who wants me. You are one who believes in me. You are one who says, join me. You are not ashamed or embarrassed by me. I can be yours, Jesus. You can be mine, Jesus, my teacher, my master, my Lord, Rabboni. Bartimaeus knew he could be personal with Jesus, and he also knew the authority that Jesus carried. Now, this can be kind of an uncomfortable word for some of us, the word authority. But I think Bartimaeus found a comfort in Jesus' authority. Because only someone with authority can make things happen, right? Only someone who actually has the power to change things is worth coming to and asking to get something done. Bartimaeus didn't see in Jesus a weakling. Bartimaeus didn't see in Jesus a good-for-nothing, useless, milquetoast, wimp. Bartimaeus saw in Jesus, here is a master. Here is a Lord. Here is a teacher who can get things done. Here is someone who knows the way things should be. And here is someone who is going to make things right. Here is someone with the power and authority to fix what needs fixed. Bartimaeus saw in Jesus, I can be personal with you and I can trust you because you are strong, because you are powerful. You have authority, Jesus. You are my Lord, my master, my teacher, Rabboni. And Jesus, without a question, responds to that faith in Bartimaeus, the faith that first recognized Jesus as the Son of David, the faith that recognized here's the one who renews and restores all things, the faith that saw that Jesus was full of mercy, and even more so, a faith that believes Jesus, you're personal, a faith that believes Jesus, you're powerful. Jesus responds to that faith by saying, okay, you have what you asked for, that you might see. Bartimaeus could have asked for power, could have asked for prestige, could have asked for permission, but Bartimaeus knew what I need in my life is healing and wholeness. I need you to recreate in me the potential to be a fully alive human being. Bartimaeus didn't ask for wealth or riches. Bartimaeus didn't ask for Jesus to smite that crowd. Those jerks. Get them, Jesus. He didn't do that. He didn't care at this point what the crowd had said to him. He figured Jesus can take care of them in his own way. But what I need, Jesus, I need you to fix me. I need the healing and the wholeness that you bring, Jesus. Jesus, I need you to take away whatever is holding me back from my full human potential. Jesus, I need you to remove any hindrance from the image of God fully shining in me. I believe that each of us has something. Maybe it's physical, maybe it's emotional, psychological. Just as in the ways we might be impoverished, I believe there are also parts of us that are broken. Parts of us that we just can't get over. And it seems like whenever it comes up, we end up falling on our faces. And we know we're meant for more, but that thing, it holds us back. That fear, that anxiety, that depression, that suspicion, that doubt, that mistrust of self or others. Maybe our disability, so to speak, can't be seen by others. But there's been something preventing us from living the life we know that we're called to. And that's what Bartimaeus deals with here. He gets right to it. I want to see, and Jesus says, yes, I can fix that. I can bring the healing that is going to help you step into your destiny. I can bring the healing that is going to help you live a full and rich and deep human life. Jesus responds to the beautiful faith of Bartimaeus by saying, go. It's more like saying, go forth. Yes, go and do. Accomplish great things, Bartimaeus. Fulfill your destiny. Follow your dreams. It's not a go of dismissal, get out of here, Bartimaeus. It's a go of saying, go live your life. Even as you left behind your cloak, even as you left behind your place on the side of the road, now keep going. Keep going into fullness of life, Bartimaeus. Go forth. I set you free. Now walk in freedom. You are not stuck by the side of the road anymore. Your faith has made you well. Your faith has saved you. Your faith has brought you the healing and wholeness that you truly need. In mind, body, soul, spirit, heart, emotions, social. Every area of life, Jesus is saying, yes, because of your faith, Bartimaeus, there is sight in your eyes now, but there is also a new life in you. A new life, empowered, enabled, equipped to do all the things that God has for you, to be all that God has called you to be. You are not defined anymore by being a blind beggar on the side of the road. You are defined now as one who belongs to Jesus, as a follower of Jesus, a disciple of Jesus. And the faith of Bartimaeus doesn't stop there. Bartimaeus receives his healing, but he also follows Jesus on the way. There was a moment of decision in the life of Bartimaeus to come to Jesus. But he also made a continual decision, saying that no matter where Jesus goes, I'm going with him. Even if it means walking into self-sacrifice, even if it means walking into more pain. Jesus was on the way to Jerusalem, and everybody knew it was going to get ugly. And yet Bartimaeus said to himself, I am following this man through thick and thin. I am with Jesus, and I'm going wherever he goes. And it's that kind of faith that kept Bartimaeus well and whole and fulfilled and healed. Bartimaeus knew what he really wanted from Jesus. Bartimaeus knew that I need Jesus to touch my life, to make me well, to heal me, to make me whole. And I need that from Jesus every day. I'm going to trust him enough to meet my every need, every hour. And that is why I am following him. Because I want to stay close to this one, this Son of David, who renews, who restores, who's full of mercy, who stands still for me, who listens to my voice, the one who is personal, and the one who has power and authority to do for me what no one else can do. I know what I want from Jesus. I want his healing in every area of my life. I want to leave that place of rejection behind, leave behind the place of poverty, and I want to follow Jesus wherever he goes. I believe that is the deepest cry of all of our hearts and souls, to receive the healing that Jesus offers and to be an intimate follower of our Messiah. That is what our hearts and souls want. That is what we want from Jesus. Amen.
Third and next hymn. What's the next hymn?